Yes.
And we're back. This is Sam Witwer.
I'm going to go with... just call me Sherwood.
Sherwood.
On this one. It's my middle name. I prefer it.
Okay.
I prefer it. Samuel Sherwood.
Who are you?
I'm Mayra.
Yeah. And this is episode 5.
It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it.
Knew it.
And I feel fine.
I actually think that Josh doesn't feel fine.
Yeah.
I think that's the irony. I think he's not feeling okay. I don't think any of us are feeling good right now.
Yeah, Ray's feeling great.
Ray feels better than he has in years.
Yeah, Vince Leclerc as Marcus not feeling so great.
No.
Hey, by the way, the claws.
Yeah.
I thought that was interesting. I didn't...
Yeah. When I'm beating him up.
Yeah, your
claws.
Whose
idea was that?
That was Chikorits.
Chikorits.
The director of episode 3 and 4. Now, this episode was Charles Benimé's first episode.
Yes, exactly. Charles.
He might be one of my favorite people.
Charles, who on the first day on the set came up to me and said, "My God, your hair is... it's really amazing. It's like not even real hair. Can I touch it? I wonder, can I take it off your head and put it on my head? Because I don't have hair."
Oh, that's hilarious.
And I was just like, I like this guy.
Yeah, this guy's
kind of awesome.
The first time I saw Charles on the set was when I was in my full body cast from episode 2.
That's right.
And running around like an idiot because I was so excited about it.
Now, the full body cast is the thing that allowed her to fly in episode 2.
Right, yeah. Down the stairs.
I had an odd metal boner coming out of the middle of it.
Very strange metal phallus coming out from the mid stomach.
And why wouldn't I run around with that?
Yeah.
I mean,
now here's a question: when they're taking people off to the morgue, are their feet actually exposed like that with the tag on it?
Maybe so they know.
So, wonderful shot that.
Yeah, that was a really neat transition.
Morphs into this.
Yeah.
Now it should be noted that this actor who did a fantastic job. He's so good. He's really good. And in this moment, when we saw the rough cut, and he's all anxious to pounce on this poor guy, they didn't have the eyes or the fangs in, and so there was a humorous moment.
Oh, my God.
You know.
Right there.
You know,
that guy
kind of
looks like Danny.
Oh, yeah, the guy on the table?
Yeah.
But, you know, he really committed with the eyes and the fangs that were supposed to come in. And of course, without those effects to support you...
Right.
Yeah.
It was obviously pretty funny to see.
Yeah,
but then you put the eyes in and it becomes kind of terrifying.
Yeah,
it's like a newborn baby.
One of the things... Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things that is... When you're working on a show that has special effects is... You oftentimes commit to things that make you feel ridiculous or very, very silly. And you just hope that the effects guys are going to support you.
Yep.
And they're going to make you look.
And they have
good
on this show. Mario.
And they have.
Yeah, they really have.
But
been amazing.
Our effects people have been so on the ball. I've been so impressed, especially later when we get a glimpse of the werewolf.
Yeah, unbelievable.
We'll
get to that.
Yep.
Because I'm not going to say what we make this show for, but we don't have unlimited resources.
Right.
That's putting it mildly.
Yeah.
And for them to create a creature, which I felt, I mean, honestly, I have a lot of friends who work in effects over at, say, Zoic or ILM or people that worked on Battlestar and stuff. And these are people who are really, really good. And I got to say that when you do see the wolf...
Yeah, it's some of the best
effects I've ever seen on television.
Yeah, me too. I agree.
It's really convincing.
Yeah,
anyway.
And it needed to be.
Yeah.
Really needed to be.
You know, here's something I find interesting about your character, Megan, is that she is so many things... Besides just you, she's the house, and she is she has all these things that she expresses. And then later on in this episode, I believe the ring. She tries in so many different ways to tell herself things through these abilities that you have.
Yeah
it's kind of amazing.
Like somehow there is a version of Sally that is almost kind of all-knowing when it comes to what you're about.
You know,
but you're splintered into different...
it makes sense because there's so much physically that she can't do, but it sort of manifests itself in, you know, her surroundings.
By the way, that robe is my robe that I lent to production.
Are you serious?
No, I'm not serious. That's not
how great would that be?
Yeah. But it's interesting. It's like, you know, it's like how when you're really, really anxious, or stressed out, it manifests itself physically in your body.
Yeah.
You know, where it's like you'll like have a pain in your neck, and your neck will be all stiff, and you're like, why is my neck stiff? I don't remember doing anything. It's like, well, that's just your head.
Yes.
That's just your mind. Yeah. You know, and it's incredible.
Like, and Sally, the mind is, in a weird way, she is everything that meant anything to her.
Yeah.
Ring, the house, the people around her, and she can affect those things.
Yeah.
But I love that Sally, as we deal with her, is a person who doesn't know about these things. Mm-hmm. But there's a larger version of her that does, that tries to inform her.
The universe.
The universe.
It's very mystical.
People have been asking a lot about your leather jacket.
My leather jacket?
Yeah, what about it? Yeah, yeah, yeah. People like it.
I like
people
it.
People like it. You liked it too, did you not?
I did. You know, Adam Kane picked out that leather jacket. He took one of them home.
Really?
He liked it so much that he has one.
Really?
Really?
That's a surprise.
Yes, that's... Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, I imagine by the end of the series, I will take that one home. I'll take the other one home.
There you go, you should.
Will you wear it in life, or will you feel like it?
See, that's the thing. Can I?
No, I don't.
Would you wear it? Would you wear it as Sam Witwer?
If I was... Okay, if it wasn't on the series, I'd wear it.
Yeah.
Sure, I'd wear it.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. Why not? Yeah.
I actually take my wardrobe home on weekends and wear it.
Do you?
Sure. Yeah.
No, I
sleep in my wardrobe.
It's, you know what, the funny thing,
I make them not wash it because I like my own musk.
I like the way you smell.
I like waking up in the morning,
musk,
having it like freshly hung on a hanger in my trailer, but having it just smell
musky.
Just smells
musk.
You know, Josh has a thing for orange juice, by the way.
He does.
Really likes his OJ.
Citrus.
He's a good boy.
He's a big vitamin guy.
Yeah. Good boy.
Yep. Love that exterior, by the way.
Ray's got, by the way, Ray has great legs.
I was just thinking that. Yeah. I was like, look at those.
Great legs.
That guy does some squats.
Yeah.
You guys are...
Kristen Hager. She says, Aiden, we need some help here.
Man, run!
And she's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I feel vampire feelings at the Jesus Kristen Hager says this, and I go, come on, go!
We should do some voices for like a scene.
We always talk about doing that.
Let's actually do it this time. Have we done it before?
I need the priest! Come on! So...
The Arnold voice will always make me laugh.
I actually met him, and my friend who introduced us says, "Hey, Sam does a fantastic impression of you." Oh, it does great. Let's hear it. And I sat there sweating, and I clammed up.
Have you ever been speechless in your life before?
Seriously,
Sarah actually said, she goes, "That's the first time I've ever seen you nervous."
That's amazing. Yeah. I would be nervous. I completely understand that.
Having to perform on the spot like that.
Right, God, you make fun of me, you asshole. Come on.
What if he did?
Oh, dude. He's the Terminator, man.
If he just tore off his outer skin.
Yeah.
And his metal skeleton was staring at
Endoskeleton.
You. Endoskeleton.
So this becomes a pretty
important,
revealing scene for Sally.
I do like this.
Me too. I love the way we put this together.
We got to figure out a way to be more colorful in the way that we describe it. We like things because we start these scenes. These scenes come up like, "Oh, I love this scene. Oh, this is a great scene."
I know. By the way, that finial that Bridget's holding onto there. I always thought that was just a boob.
A nipple.
We play with
that all the time.
There you go. Look, you're playing with the upper one. Look at that. Oh, God.
She's
stimulating it.
I can't.
Look, now the audience is thinking all the finials are... Look at that. Come on.
I love that you... Here's a fun fact. Sam knows what those things are called because... his dad is a cabinet maker.
Well, it's a lot of people know what those are called.
I don't agree with that.
I know what they were called.
You know what everything's called.
I
think anyone knows
what
they're
called. I don't know what everything's called.
You're a liar.
I wish I knew what everything's called. No, I think you were impressed by my knowledge of the banister. What was it?
And your vocabulary.
Yeah, no. I wish I had a larger vocabulary. I love this scene, by the way.
Yeah,
I remember
this is
when we were coming into this scene. I wasn't even there. I was wrapped right before you guys were about to shoot this scene. And being like, all right, well, on the page, this is like literally a short paragraph.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
And I was like, all right, well, they'll be able to shoot this in an hour. And I remember talking to Charles before you guys shot it. He's like, And I was like, oh, so you guys are going to get out of here early tonight. And he was like, what are you talking about? And I was like, well, you only have like that little tiny piece in the elevator to shoot. He goes, yeah, not the way I'm going to shoot it.
Yeah, we're going
to
be here for a while. And, it's funny how directors will budget out and figure out which scenes are more important to them, and they will budget time for it. For example, Jeremiah Chechik in a later episode budgeted out like most of a day for...
A full day.
For a dinner table scene because he really wanted to shoot the hell out of it.
Ep 7.
But
there were a lot of characters in that scene too.
And they turn out great. I mean, those end up being the most memorable scenes for me.
Yeah.
Our money is not unlimited, nor is our time. I mean, we shoot 2 episodes at a time, but each episode only has 7 days to shoot all this stuff, and it's ridiculous how fast we have to move, and also the overtime that we have to put in to get these in the can. I mean, It's the most exhausted I've ever been on.
It's pretty grueling.
Something really okay. A piece of writing in here that I really loved is the priest says, "I knew he believes in God. We know that,
right?
But he says, I knew there was no afterlife. That this is it. This is all we get. And I love a vampire." Putting that out there.
This is
what he's saying. A vampire is saying, I know there's no afterlife. Well, he's been a vampire for 6 years, so he's definitely run into ghosts.
Right.
But he's saying there's no afterlife.
Yeah.
I love that, because it sort of says, well, then maybe there isn't.
Right.
What is Sally? Is she imprinted on the house?
Yeah.
Is she actually a person, or is she something that was left over?
Yeah.
Is she a piece of energy, or is she?
You think he's running the ghost? He must have, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, totally.
Because later on in the series, Rebecca sees a ghost, and she knows what it is.
Right.
They educate the vampires on all these things. Yeah. They educate them on werewolves. They educate them on ghosts. And I do love the idea that the afterlife, it's not a 100% thing, and that maybe Sally isn't in a proper afterlife, and therefore the whole door thing becomes way more mysterious.
Right, because
we don't know what's beyond that.
Right.
You know, so I love throwing into doubt, because if you see a ghost, you go, oh, of course there's an afterlife. Mm-hmm. It's like, you're making a lot of assumptions.
Right.
And this guy throws it all into doubt, and I love
that. He was great, by the way.
Yeah.
Very priesty.
Priest-like. Priestly. Jason Priestley.
Is that his name?
Jason Priestley.
And you know what? What a tremendous actor.
Yeah.
I loved him on Melrose Place. That was a
yeah, I see,
whole
no,
point
you did it
was
on,
to be...
Yes.
Yes.
I see
man. That woman laying in the bed, God bless her, she was sweet as all get out, but I swear, I don't think she knew what was going on. She was like, so
are we in a hospital?
So are you on the show?
What? Are you serious?
She's like, yeah, I'm on the show. She's like, so, like, what are you in for, like, the day? Are you?
By the way, you know she's watching this right now.
Yeah, I know.
So she knows you're on the show at this point.
Maybe, yes. Now she's pretty fully aware.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
This is one of those scenes that, it's funny, like, a lot of the scenes with Kristen, I was like, you know, I hope I'm not butchering this. And then I watch them, and I'm like, oh, these are actually kind of
they're charming.
Great.
Very charming. And I like another thing that we learn about. Well,
she's gorgeous, isn't she? Beautiful.
Yes, absolutely, she is. We learn, in you know, no uncertain terms throughout the season that Josh is a really sharp guy, and also Sally. Like, these were two very smart people, and that I feel like justifies
breasts.
But the education and intelligence of those two characters, I think, justifies the banter, right?
Yeah.
Because there's some crazy stuff that comes out of both y'all's mouths.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
And you would have to be someone who is a little bit sharp.
Yeah, we definitely back it up with our intelligence.
Definitely.
It's so unlike
Aiden
me.
Is just dumb.
He's just
sullen.
He's just dumb.
But he's so old that he's picked up a few words.
That's exactly right. When do you think Aiden turns 258? What's the his birthday?
He's probably an Aquarius or something.
what sign is Aiden? That's the mission I've been
calling. Sally's definitely
you.
A Gemini like I am.
Think so?
Yeah.
She also looks just like you. Yeah. She looks just like you.
So here it is. Here comes the big reveal. So this is what we've been leading up to all season. And it's all revealed with this ring that jolts
it's actually,
a lot of memories.
Actually, it's just the Lord of the Rings.
Here it is.
Yeah, one ring.
The
Lord
of
the
Rings. Smeagol.
Yeah, Sally's a little Schmeagle like.
Yeah, she is. She is.
Yeah.
This was a great scene to shoot because it was the first time I could actually touch John Palo and look at him, speak to him. It was really, really nice. And we had it was a crazy stunt that they did with them. My double falling down the stairs like that. She had one chance to do it, and she was amazing.
Yeah, she nailed it.
Yeah, and John Powell throwing me against the wall, he was actually really pushing me. I was completely padded in the back, and my elbow smashed against the wall, and I had the biggest bruise.
Yes.
That was from?
Yeah.
That was from?
Now, this is the kind of actress Megan Rath is. She rushed. I was shooting some scene, and she rushes on set, and she goes, Sam, look! And she's got bruises all over her arm. I mean, it looked bad.
I had his finger marks.
Finger marks! And I'm like,
oh my God.
What the hell? Who did this? She's like, I know, isn't it awesome? She was so excited about it. And I'm like, what did he do to you?
Do you need some ice? Yeah. Do you need to get that drained?
Spoils the floor.
By the way, it should be noted that Jean Paulo also was not shy about taking his knocks.
Yeah.
Because there's
a
scene, I think, in episode 6, is it, right? Or is it in this episode?
It's the next one.
Is it the next episode?
Episode 6,
In
episode
6,
here's the hit.
There it is.
What did you fall onto?
The stuntman was standing right off camera, so I would fall into his arms.
No kidding, really?
Yeah.
Wow. But yeah, we threw him...
Oh man!
Oh boy! Yeah,
that is such an oh shit moment.
But who hasn't been there? Right?
Yeah, I know. We've all killed at least one girlfriend.
Yeah, come on.
You know what I mean?
You learn from it. You go, well, I guess I can't do that.
I shouldn't do it that way.
Not that way.
Yeah.
Different way.
I
and then you do that, and that doesn't work out. You kill another one. You're like, this has got to stop. And you call your buddies over. You're like, oops, I did it again.
I'm not gonna. Listen,
this is the last time.
What's gonna happen is I'm not gonna stop killing girls, but I have to stop doing it like this.
Oh,
I have to
not
stop
like
doing
this.
It. Like,
yeah,
not
it's
like
so
this.
Sloppy. And,
oh, that's a good effect.
Yeah,
that's so funny. For like the frame before he actually goes through you, I'm like, oh, stop. Oh, okay, he's walking through.
Uh oh.
Here, I love
Dude, you should have slid across the hood of that car.
Right.
That would be so awesome.
Pella Screamo.
Pella Gringo.
This scene is amazing.
You know what we need to do is we need to get him in on these podcasts.
Yeah, we should.
And Christian Hager.
Christine Taylor.
Yeah. Is Jean Paulo in town?
He is, yeah. He's leaving at the end of April, so we should get him in.
Yeah, we really should.
What's his address?
His phone number.
What's his cell phone number? Where is he right now?
That's funny. That's a knee slapper. That's what that noise
Thank
was.
You. Thank you. In case anyone was wondering, Megan Rath just slapped her knee. Not a wig. His actual hair.
But that's definitely a wig. My hair is a wig.
Yeah.
Real boy.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Just now we're just watching it.
Oh boy. Yeah.
Now we're just watching it.
This is such a good show.
I'm captivated by the chin dimple.
Yeah, it is.
Within this light, your chin dimple looks like
I can't take
like
my
Grand
eyes off
Grand Canyon. Oh god, I hid stuff in that this season.
Yeah, you had your wallet in there.
Like, oh man,
can I just
to hide
say
my
one
weed.
Thing and then maybe I shouldn't say it, but you know what? I'm going to. We did a scene, and I think it was the finale of the show, or possibly episode 12, but I'd like to talk about it now, speaking of hiding things in crevices of Sam Witwer.
Oh no!
Sam Witwer was chewing gum at one point right before a take, and I was like, aren't you going to spit out your gum? And he stared me right in the eyes, we locked snakes, he took it out of his mouth, and he put it in his belly button.
That's right.
And he kept it there for the entire rest of the scene,
you did.
Then put it back in his mouth.
The best man ever.
Hey.
Best man who
ever. Yeah, but I, at least I checked it for lint before.
I got a lot of
it. It was fine.
I got a lot of
it
respect.
It was fine.
For you earned respect.
I was nauseous the entire scene. And I promise you guys, I will point it out when we do podcasts for that episode.
Did I really do
You're
that?
You're welcome.
Oops. You did, absolutely.
Blech.
It was
Blech.
Amazing.
That doesn't even sound
Blech.
Like me. It doesn't even sound like me.
Right.
I love that Bishop beats Aiden up here.
Oh, God.
Because
yeah, okay.
I've been... Me and Mark talked about it. My character has been disrespecting him from the first episode.
Right.
And getting away with murder. Saying things to him that you'd think Bishop had killed people for.
Right, right.
And just constantly doing that. And finally Bishop's like, okay, now I'm going to show you how badly
well,
I,
also,
I can take
yeah,
you.
But when he's beating the tar out of you, dude... It's coming up here. When you're laughing.
Oh, God, it's disturbing.
It's so awesome. It's, like, so crazy well done.
But we
props to you, man.
Rehearse this whole thing to make it clear that Aiden has no chance against this
right,
guy.
Right.
Especially in his current state. He hasn't drank live blood, so he's weakened.
Dude, look at this. Look at how unbelievable.
Oh,
and then finally he just is like, yep. I'm gonna end
Which is
this.
Another thing. Is I discussed it with Mark. I'm like, Mark, I want to laugh when you're hitting me. And I, you know, going along with this disrespect theme, and then you just get me so good that I can't.
Right.
That it's over. You
yeah.
got me.
Yeah.
All right. Fine. I will admit you have. I'm terrified of it.
Right. Right.
But one of the things also is that we're trying to tell the story, or at least maybe I am. I think they're
of this.
Yeah.
Taste
licks
of blood.
Blood. But the idea is Aiden was crazy back in the day, but this guy was. Mentally unstable and,
right.
and one of the absolute worst, you know, party guy just out of his mind. And you know, who knows, Bishop may have even kept him from becoming the ultimate psycho that,
right.
that you know, he might have been a stabilizing force.
Uh-oh. So,
this is...
I also would never want to be the recipient of a Mark Pellegrino punch.
Oh, boy.
He's like a martial artist. He's like an MMA guy. Like
yes.
He did like Muay Thai and like all this crazy, you know, jiu-jitsu and stuff. And he is truly a fighter.
Yeah.
Like, the guy is a fighter. And so, like, when you see him, like, throwing those punches, it's like... There's a lot of weight behind those, so...
Well, didn't you say... You guys went to a gym together, and he was...
Yeah, it was hilarious. Yeah, he went down, because, you know, I do Krav Maga, and I was doing...
Which is basically teaching you just how to... Just
how,
nut
how,
kicks.
Yeah, how
lots
to, like,
of nut kicks.
Right, lots of nut kicks. Yeah, that's basically the whole thing. But, I you know, I was working out at this gym, and I was like, you should come, you know, you should come, because I knew his background was in martial arts, and... And so he went down to, like, the little, they called it the boxing ring. It was really just a room with a bunch of heavy bags. And I went up and worked out. And when I checked out, he was still down there, like, stretching or whatever. And I was like, hey, I was talking to the receptionist. I said, hey, has my friend left yet? And she goes, no, he's still down there. And I said, oh, yeah? And she goes, yeah. He sounded like he was hitting the bag really hard.
Yeah.
I could hear him all the way up here.
Yeah.
And that was saying something. I don't want to be
I mean,
on his
as a guy, I mean, I guess as a male, eventually, well, okay, hopefully not, but sometimes you get a punch in the face, right? It's probably happened to you. It's happened to me. And I've never been bugged by one. I haven't been hit that much in the face, but the
right.
times that I've been clocked in the face, for whatever reason, it just, maybe I had adrenaline, I didn't really feel it.
Right.
I feel like if Pellegrino did it.
Yeah, you'd just be knocked out.
Yeah, exactly.
You wouldn't have a chance.
Maybe I wouldn't feel it, but that's because I'd be unconscious.
That's exactly right.
Right.
This
yeah.
is a great scene, by the way. Really nice scene with you guys.
This scene has no
This
nuance.
Is like, this is like,
it's
where
so
Aiden's
nice.
Like, I'm gonna go kill this guy because... He messed with my girl. And this is where it's like really that brother-sister theme
yeah.
is like hammered home.
Well, and he's killed so many people that he's not what you would call a rational human being
right.
or a sane human being when it comes to the value of human life. He's trying to be.
Right.
He's trying to relearn that.
Right.
But if this guy has done this, well,
right.
then he must die. And also, we should note that if Aiden kills the guy... Aiden is right back into the addiction because
right.
he's going to feed.
Right.
So it's a bad thing. You know, it's a bad thing that Danny needs to die
yeah.
for everyone.
Yep.
But boy, does he need to die.
Yeah, guy needs to die really bad.
And by the way, Sammy, and I know we're going to hear this a lot through the podcast, so people just get used to it, but boy, do I love your performance when he reveals who he is to you.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many different stages of this, I don't know,
This was an 8-page scene.
Oh. I mean, it's like you're shocked, you're angry, you're hurt, then you get angry again.
It was a big scene.
And then it goes right back to shock.
Then shock.
Then he goes...
And then we actually make love. Yeah. And then I kill him.
They cut the lovemaking, though.
Yeah, it was weird. I don't know why they cut that. It was so tender.
It worked. It really worked. It made sense. Because you watch the episode now, and you're like, when are they going
to
kiss?
Exactly. They just need to get it over with.
They just get it over with.
They're so adorable together.
Oh, they're so cute.
And, you know, everyone's rooting for them. They're rooting like as a couple. It's like Ross and Rachel.
As a couple.
Ross and Rachel.
I'm Rachel. But yeah, you know, it was cool. It was like theater because we literally shot this scene. Every take that we did, I think,
was worse than the one.
Was worse than the one before.
Yeah.
Was we went through the entire scene.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Really?
We never shot it in like pieces.
So
obviously,
like 8-minute takes.
Yeah, literally.
Oh, boy.
They were really really long. And I think towards the end where we had the which you will soon see, the fangs and the claws on.
Where you almost kiss.
Where we actually make love. we had to shoot that, those little pieces separately, and the fight was a whole unit. But this was all one piece, and because each shot, like you look at all these shots, they all worked for multiple shots. So like every angle worked for 3 or 4 different pieces of the scene.
God, what a...
So you had to run through the whole scene, but it was good... Because
for
you really,
momentum.
Yeah. Because for momentum, you get the whole rhythm of the scene, you get the whole thing. You never stumbled on a line because you, by that point, you knew it so well. But it was really, actually, I had a lot of fun shooting this.
I mean, what's great about the show, and you don't usually get this luxury on TV, is that our scenes are often long.
Yeah,
and it's nice to be able to do a scene like that. It doesn't quite feel like.
They start intercutting a 5-page scene with me and the priest.
They broke this one up because it was so long.
Yeah.
By the way, there's some theater kid listening to this who's going, "Ugh, you guys are a bunch of wusses."
Yeah.
God.
I know.
5 pages, 8 pages, but it actually in the film world that is actually
it's a long
quite a bit. That's a that's a long
well,
shoot
the TV
right there
world.
In the TV world. Yeah, I mean, well, then the people that are, are in treatment fans are going, you guys are a bunch of pussies.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, we're not on in treatment,
no,
okay?
Well, here, the reason I'm saying that is because I started in theater, and I haven't done it in a really, really long time.
Yeah.
So it was nice for me to, like, feel like I could work on this scene. And
sure,
you know,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, that's the thing. You so rarely get to go through and have this kind of momentum.
Right.
And that's really awesome.
Yeah.
And it's great they didn't break it up. That's really awesome of Charles to do that. Because there are some directors who might.
Yeah.
To make it, because there's stunts, man.
Yeah.
At the end of this, there's...
I know.
They start,
it's
like,
crazy.
Fighting.
I know. It's so crazy.
So, that's incredible.
This is and Andreas really gave it.
Yeah, he did. I look forward to seeing him again.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a great guy. He's got a bunch of kids.
Great legs. What?
Great legs.
Great eyes.
One time
great
I saw
eyes. Beautiful eyes.
That robe.
Tender
I saw
lover.
His balls.
Tender.
He's a real tender lover.
Yeah.
I think we all had a pass at him, right?
Yeah.
I think we all had a turn.
He was the set whore.
He was the village bike.
He was the town doorknob.
He was.
This was really...
Well, it was funny because, like, I'm not really in this episode very much. And then there's this scene. it's Josh's... It's a big episode. It's a big moment for him.
Yeah,
you know,
it's
and then they intercut it
maker and
with my conflict with the priest and you wrecking up the place.
Oh my god, it's so intense.
And I've said it before, but I'll say it again. As a kid, I would dream of being able to move things with my mind and destroy stuff and having it all rigged for me was a dream come true. It was
where
the best day of my life.
Look at something and it would move
and
it would
explode. What a great day.
Yeah. Yeah, there were some really cool design elements in your destruction as well, because the way that you leave Danny's apartment is really... When I saw that in the rough cut...
Me too.
That
wasn't in the script, too, that it's a swirl. Well,
that wasn't
in
the script?
It wasn't.
Oh,
no,
wasn't.
It was so...
It was
love
like a
this.
I don't read the script,
so
I just, you know what I mean?
Sal, you made a swirl.
Why would you read it? I only read, like... my pieces.
Oh, my line.
Yada, 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 my line.
I get it. I know what's going on before.
Me.
I don't understand why we're doing
this. And you know what's nice is sometimes you guys are in the scenes I'm in.
Yeah.
So, like, I'll like read your lines. I'm like, oh, that's what's going on with that.
Oh, interesting, interesting.
Yeah. This actually could be really interesting.
Yeah, so I just, like, I'll be looking at the scene and I'll see a bunch of words under, like, your character names, and I'll just be like, we don't need it. We get it.
Yeah.
We understand. He talks. We get it. Let's move
exposition.
On. It's exposition. Let's move on. God.
Yeah.
We had a very limited set here, too. By the way, it should be, well, I should bring this up in a second, but the stunt... I think people that are listening to this probably have seen the episode.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
The actual violence in this scene as we shot it was about six times what you see in the episode. Because we did several phases, and the final phase had him with blood all over his face, spitting up chunks of teeth.
Love it.
Fight Club style.
Amazing.
I mean, just broken teeth everywhere, beaten to a bloody pulp.
Yeah.
And we shot all manner of me swinging and you know, smashing into his face, and then you see it, and they didn't use it. But hey,
we get it, you know,
the thing is, though, it is still shocking, and it is still effective, and
you know what it is? It's your face, too. It's your face that you're just calmly doing. You know exactly what you're doing. It's calculated, and it's... kind of evil.
Yeah, it is.
You see Aiden kind of lose himself in this moment of like, I'm going to crush this person.
Well, he walks in he goes, okay, this guy's got to stop. All right, let me try to intimidate
him
a little bit.
Yeah,
that's not
going
to happen. Let me try to reason with him. Okay, that's not going to happen. Let me try to talk about what his God means to him. Okay, this is not, nothing is working.
Right.
Okay, now let me try to actually level with him and tell him what this means to me. I'm going to actually open up and tell him that this is important to me. I'm really in a bad place, and can you help me out?
Right.
And that doesn't work. And then he's like, okay, now you're going out.
Jason Priestley,
you're going out.
You're going out.
I am going to...
Good night, Priestley.
I'm going to, you know...
I wonder if Jason Priestley is watching this.
He's definitely watching this.
Absolutely. I'm
Jason Priestley...
I'm certain of it.
Is a huge fan of the
huge
show.
Huge fan. But you know, oddly, the guy that played Dylan is not.
No. Luke Perry?
Luke Perry hates the show.
But he doesn't like it because Jason Priestley's on it.
Yeah, well...
They have a lot of animosity.
And by on it, he means like on every...
Yeah,
watch
on it, like he's
episode.
On top of it.
He's on top of it.
Yeah. Big fan. Huge fan.
This guy's a little, like, you know, a little eager beaver, I'd say.
Yeah.
He is. He just wants to kill
By the way, they wasted no time having pictures of themselves. But again, you have to remember that these episodes...
Do I have to remember?
You must remember. It's so important.
No, it is
imperative that you remember that these episodes take place governed by Josh's full moons. We show up around the time of Josh's full moon
in
a lot of these moments. So... Danny and Bridget actually have had time to develop this relationship. It's just, you know, the way we're telling it, you don't always have unlimited screen time to describe every moment.
Oh,
for example...
Really good.
Yeah.
Lean into it. Well, it's that his claws, too, coming out, and that's just awesome.
I think our digital effects team is just
top-notch.
Amazing.
Look at that. Oh,
it's really, really well done. Because
it's
subtle.
Seamless.
You almost don't even see
it.
It
is subtle.
Yeah, it's really cool. I remember talking early on to Adam Kane, who's our executive producer and a genius director. But he was like, you know, it's so funny. He had seen a lot of the effects before we saw him. And he was like, yeah, you know, it's funny. The most effective effects, in my opinion, are the eyes and the teeth. And the claws, because they're subtle, and they're like, this is yeah. by the way, what I was talking about earlier when you get there.
By the way, I wish I'd made it more clear that Aiden actually elbows him in the temple.
Oh, which, yeah?
Or, yeah, yeah.
During, when we were shooting this scene, sorry, were you...
Yeah, go for it, no, no. This is so wonderful, I love that scene, so when you're destroying the...
These newspapers flying around, one of them would come and hit me in the face, and I couldn't touch it because I'm a ghost, so I would let it stay
that's
there for
true.
Like a solid
you're...
5 seconds.
Oh, that's
you're in
awesome.
The middle
that's
of...
That's got to be on the blooper reel.
You're
when,
the middle
when
of debris.
When do we see the blooper reel?
I don't know, Adam said he was going to bring it back, did he bring it back?
Guess not. Uh-oh. He's in Puerto Rico now.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, he is.
His wife got a really, really awesome pilot.
Yeah, it's Adam Kane we're talking about. I, by the way, speaking of Adam Kane, these freeze frames are such an interesting thing that
you're
Adam
just
Kane.
Like, no more. So awesome, and then you're just like, "Yep, I'm going to do this," and you're like, "Really?" You're like,
"I love how fast the retraction is."
Yeah.
Well, the thing, yeah, so that's the thing. It's not a big heavy implement that you raise up high and swing it down. It's something that you aim very precisely and jam it into someone's mouth. It's forward jamming. And
If I had a nickel for every time I've jammed
it into someone's mouth.
I loved that shot that was over Ray just then. I thought that was so beautiful. It's
because,
like a painting.
Because you like him as a
lover.
Sex object.
Oh, God. Did it have to be said? I mean,
but speaking of Adam Kane, he's been doing these things, and by the way, I think the directors have been doing them and choosing their moments, but they've been encouraged by Adam because I saw this short film that Adam did with Robert Patrick, and it was really fantastic. It was his directorial debut. And he did all these really cool visual things, like freeze framing on certain things, and all kinds of interesting, some in camera, some in editing effects, that were editorial effects. And basically, what was great about it is it was cool, but it wasn't too cool. Because you can actually go too far with those things. And so
it's
too stylistic, and you start drawing the audience away from what's happening with the characters, and you're more concerned with how, you know, what's happening visually. And Adam has a really good sense for how much is too much when it comes to that. And that freeze frame effect actually ends up saving us way, way later in the season, because there are a couple... Well, there's a fight scene. Not a couple fights. But there's a fight scene where I say we don't have a lot of time to shoot this series. We don't. And there was this thing where we budgeted to have a day to shoot this fight scene, and by the time that we ran so far behind and everything was, you know, kind of going not as planned, and by the end of it we had like an hour and a half to shoot the fight scene. The saving grace is we got a third camera so we get extra footage. But, you know, so I was saying to Adam, I'm like, you know, there was this moment, there was that moment in the fight, and there was this moment, and it wasn't a long fight, you know what I mean, it wasn't, but it was important. And basically, well, yeah, it is actually, you're right. And I said, you know, did we get this moment? Did we get that moment? And Adam says, no, we didn't, but that's what we have freeze frame for.
Right.
And it's just like, so a stylistic thing ended up saving us. And then I just think he's brilliant like that, you know, coming up with these creative solutions to problems. You know, you don't get something very clearly on camera, so what do? You freeze on that moment to show them... Show the audience that was important.
I thought.
By the way, Pellegrino is chilling in this.
Yeah, in that scene just then, I love when he's like, "Yeah, he can be an animal." Or whatever he said.
But that's the thing. He really is trying to draw out the animal. Yeah. He's trying to psychologically break Aiden so that he will be easier to pull back into the madness that is Aiden's ex drug buddies.
That's here's the amazing.
Here it is.
I love this
that we were talking about before.
Yeah, you watch this. You go, who came up with this? I'd love to know.
That swirl.
It's awesome.
It's swirl, guys.
Good job.
I did that.
So cool.
It was great. Do you like it?
It's such an unbelievable art department across the board.
So great.
It's the look of the show is unbelievable. We're just kissing our own asses, aren't we?
Yeah.
Well,
just straight up, like, we're on such a good
show.
But
I'll say this. With us knowing how little resources we have available, and it's, you know, obviously we're not at liberty to say how much each episode costs.
Yeah.
But
$12.
$12.50.
Yeah.
But, for example, I told a friend who's working on another show, and I believe we didn't even have a third of what their budget was, and they were kind of a modestly budgeted show.
Right.
And it was, and she was, the first thing she said, she's like, how does your show look the way it looks so good? How does it looks, you know, and
we have an amazing cinematographer too.
Wonderful cinematographer.
Yeah, I mean, he's
it's just, I mean, all the people involved are so talented. Yeah. And
Kristen Hager blows her brains out. I love that little piece.
Pierre is so good.
Also, I forgot this episode ends with like, this is like one of my favorite scenes in the whole show.
Right.
Because it really is what the show's about. It's just like,
it's about these little moments.
Sober moments.
Like, yeah, like the three of us just being together.
Which is interesting. And we, oftentimes in these episodes, we're not together and we're dealing with other things separately.
Right.
But one of the themes of the season is, are these people going to learn that they're stronger together than they are?
Right,
and,
right.
And are they going to deal... Are they going to open up and deal with their individual problems as a unit or not at all?
Right.
Or will they deal with them separately? It's interesting, but it is one of the themes of the season, and you see how it resolves by episode 13.
Well, let's hope.
I love this scene.
Let's hope you do, because that's the idea anyway. I ate so much during this.
I know, and it was like, what was it, like 7 o'clock in the morning?
Was it?
Yeah,
it was. It was super early.
We set it up the night before and then shot it.
Oh, that's right. Wait, didn't we shoot? Maybe we shot a master the night before and then we.
I don't even think we did a master.
No, I think we shot the whole scene. Sitting.
Cutting.
Huh. I love the scene though. It's a great one.
I love, you know, the moments of just looks and when it breathes.
Look at that stubble on that kid's chin. He needs to shave.
Which guy?
That guy. What's wrong with him?
Yeah,
shave.
Never shaves.
1.7 millimeters, in case you guys are wondering.
1.7. What was let me ask you a question. What was Don Johnson's on Miami Vice?
Ooh, good. That's a really good question.
Yours
I guarantee
you. 1.7, but his was heavy longer.
You think so? He may have just had a heavier beard than I.
My beard
is bizarre.
Because I'm looking at your beard right now, and it looks more Don Johnson-y now than
does
it does
well,
in the show.
Well, because it's longer, so it's darker.
Oh.
Maybe that's what it is.
Well, but then...
more of
it. Doesn't that mean that Don Johnson had a longer beard?
I bet he just had darker stubble. And a fuller beard.
Do you think they colored his stubble?
I bet Don Johnson just has a man stubble.
He is very manly.
He is. The Don John.
Don John, as we
Don
call him.
Don John DeMarco.
Don John. Don John Trump.
Don John,
exactly.
John.
Yeah.
Nice work.
Thank you.
Good work.
Nice.
Well done.
Thank you.
Yeah, you know, you had to eat, and we really did.
Yeah, you guys
I took a bite or two.
I was really into
stuffing
eating.
It.
Yeah, I ate a lot.
I just watched, as usual. Is this the last scene of the episode?
This is it?
Yeah.
Good, because I've never had to pee so bad in my life.
Oh!
It's a big one, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, look at this water bottle. It's completely empty.
You guys, when we do the next podcast,
Megan
will still be peeing.
Yeah, that's true. You know, we are three of the most professional episode commentators.
Yeah, it's terrible.
The episode commentator.
Yeah. Look at Megan Rath's teeth, by the way.
Yeah.
Speaking of professionalism.
Very professional
my
teeth.
My mother's
professional
dentist.
Professional teeth. Well, you would hope so with teeth like that.
So
you would assume.
Thank you so much.
Are you serious?
Thank you.
That's one of the credits.
Thank you so much for listening to...
Thank you for putting up with us.
Our
I know.
Commentary. And we will be back for episode 6. And
I will have peed.
That she will have.
That's right, episode 6.
I promise you.
I will find you.
I will find you.
All right.
All right.
Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.
Love you. Poop.